I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't know it. Hey.
This is a 10-hour loop of the Halloween song.
Nice.
We're just going to listen to the full 10 hours and then we'll start.
I was thinking more like two.
Just two hours? Yeah, two hours is probably, it's a nice even number.
It makes me laugh super hard, like someone actually doing that.
All right, welcome to IDK, baby. We are back. We're back. This is Thaddeus J. McKee with IDK It. And today we're doing something very special. Today we are going over the movie Halloween. Yes, Halloween. There are many Halloweens. This one we are doing the first one ever. 1979. It all started in 1979 with Michael as a kid. He was a bad guy. On this podcast right now, we have the one, the only, Bobby Kendall.
What is happening? Hey, thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, What's going on? How are you doing, Bobby?
Doing pretty well.
All right. Yeah. And that is the podcast. We are done.
Scary Larry's Haunted House, located at a mile marker 85 over on Route 9 in Latham. We're now open for business and we've got lots of scary frights. There's a box that you can climb inside, it's very dark and there's some breathing holes. Scary. Then there's a guy that just stands super close to you and makes you uncomfortable. Pretty scary. Then we flick the lights on and off the whole time so you feel pretty spooky. And of course we got the white sheets with the eye holes and stuff. And then there's a guy with a chainsaw at the end and it's a real chainsaw, so you better be careful. There's lots of fake blood and lots of other stuff, lots of candy. There's lots of fun. It's super fun, guys, but super scary. I swear. Hey, listen, come on over to Scary Larry's and get the Scary Larry guarantee. Don't forget to bring an extra pair of underwear.
I told you it was going to be easy.
It was good talking to you.
It was good talking to you. I mentioned the movie we watched, and that's all we got to do.
Sweet. What movie was it?
It was Halloween. Didn't you watch it?
Oh, IDK it.
I don't know if I did or not.
No, I really don't. No, that movie... honestly, like, one of my favorites. It's just an incredible film, I think, for many reasons. I love John Carpenter. He's great. And it's such a low-budget film. It's exciting to see what he could do with such a low budget.
Right.
That really excites me a lot.
Here's the thing.
It's super cool.
This was your idea. You're like, we got to do another IDK. It's been super busy. Let's just start with that real quick. I've had a crazy life since the last podcast. I think we both have, but
yeah.
Between doing comedy shows, doing podcasts for Harder Brunch, doing Drunk Dial, doing shows at the White Rabbit, writing characters, I've had literally no time. I was producing on and off for both podcasts, and so I didn't have time to do IDK it. My life just kind of flipped upside down. I had a few family deaths since then. And I was like, man, like, I really want to get back to this IDK it, because we have people saying, when is it coming back? When is it coming back? And it's coming back now. We did four episodes. Now we're coming back in a different vein, in the sense, like, I want to do whatever movie I want. I don't want to just be held by all comedy movies. And yes, I know that was the original thing. We're going to do the comedy movies first and then do other movies as well. But now I'm saying, let's just do the other movies. Like, whatever the guest request, I want to do. I'm a movie guy and I haven't seen a lot of movies. I realized I love movies, but I've only seen five in my lifetime. I've seen Hook. I've seen The Sandlot. And then I don't remember the other three.
Hook is solid.
It's a solid movie.
Yeah, it's great. And so is Sandlot. It's just fantastic.
Right.
Oh.
And then yeah,
Hook's one of the best. Yeah, that's one of the five movies I've seen.
Yeah,
Alien.
Alien?
Yeah. I didn't watch Halloween.
You didn't watch Halloween?
No.
This is the podcast.
It really is. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, but you hit me up. You're like, we got to do Halloween. It's a classic.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely. Like, Thad, you haven't seen Halloween? I'm like, no, what is Halloween? I think it's a holiday, right? And you're like, no, it's a movie.
It's so appropriate for IDK. I love it. It's the best.
It's so good.
Yeah. What did you think about it when you saw it?
Man, okay, so for a 1979 movie, I was a little bit worried because I was like, is it going to hold up? Is it going to be cool? And I went and I watched it. I did it in two parts. I'm going to be honest with you. The first time I fell asleep because it was too late. I always psych myself up for a movie. Like, it's 9 o'clock. I think I could stay up. And then all of a sudden you realize you're asleep and you're like, oh man, I just missed something. But
right, absolutely.
I went back and I rewatched it. I was worried because it was 1979. I was like, oh, no one was creative in 1979. You know?
Right. Yeah. That's the trick of the whole thing, right? It's like, it makes it so interesting. And the fact that it was, you know, made back then. And it's, you would think, you know, there's really not anything like, you know, super, super amazing from back then. I mean, there obviously is, but when you kind of, you know, cynically think that, but then like diving into something like this, especially this movie, I mean, this is near and dear to my heart for many reasons. And I feel like so many, it really did birth a genre of horror, I think, in my opinion, but mm-hmm. it kind of birthed, I don't know, a couple different streams of it. And I'm just a big fan of the stream that kind of was initially Halloween, like just the way it was made, like so minimally and like just like the space they used, you know?
Yeah.
With Carpenter, like just like the patience mm-hmm. with the long shots. I'm a huge fan of long shots already, but like
yeah.
this film is just like killing it with the long shots. And it's almost to the point of awkwardness, but it's like sometimes it just needs that, you know, like you just need to feel like your skin crawl when he's standing there breathing,
right?
Like,
right,
like for like literally like 20 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, so people might not know, we've shot a lot of video together. For the last 10 years, we've shot a lot of video. Shoot. And
I don't know what happened, but I lost you for a second.
Can you hear me now?
Wait, hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got you. I'm not sure what happened. Sorry. Can you start from the beginning of the line?
I'll start from the whole beginning of the podcast. Welcome to to ID.
All right. Can I definitely introduce myself differently? Because I definitely screwed that up. No, I'm just kidding.
Take two. We're doing it. No, I was going to say, so some people might not know, like, we've shot a lot of video together. We've shot a lot of, like, for the last, like, 12 years, we've done videos, like, comedy videos together, and you have a passion for film, and as do I, but every time we're shooting together, you'll be like, well, let's do, like, a nice long shot. And
I'm wondering
if you've got your love for the long shots from Halloween.
Honestly, no, because the first time I saw this movie, believe it or not, was last October.
What? I was going to ask you, like, when did you, like, you were a kid when you watched this, but no, you were an adult.
Yeah, it's wild because I knew of the movies, you know, and then I got into John Carpenter through other movies first, like They Live, and like Escape from LA and stuff like that. And I was just like, man, this guy is amazing. And then like I had kind of always wanted to watch like the original Halloween, you know. I felt like I heard good things about it, and I felt like it was kind of a gem of the series, you know.
Yeah.
And I like kind of initial movies in like a saga, but especially if they're old, I just love it. Like Alien, the first movie of that saga, I adore that film. But anyway, yeah. So, but yeah, it's great. I saw it last year and I fell in love with it, and it utilized all the long shots, but I think maybe Hitchcock, you know, like was probably the first, like really like where it exposed me to long shots as a kid. Cause maybe Kubrick, you know, mm-hmm. Stanley Kubrick when I was a teenager.
Oh man. Yeah.
I saw like, you know, 2001 and, you know, just like random stuff he did, like Eyes Wide Shut, which was really weird.
I haven't seen Eyes Wide Shut yet.
Very strange. I wouldn't recommend watching it, to be honest. I like Stanley Kubrick a lot. Like, I adore him as a filmmaker, but that's a little bit, just a little strange. I mean, you know, it's fine though, whatever, but hey, you know, just not my flavor. But anyway, dude, John Carpenter, man, he really killed it. I really feel like he ran with the concept. It was like the concept of this dude, like
Erwin Yablans, Yablans. Anyway,
so like apparently he's like a film kind of producer guy ish, you know, in the industry back in the day, and he talks to Carpenter about, you know, making this movie because he likes Carpenter's stuff, and he was kind of producing Carpenter a little bit, and he's like, man, this guy's great, and he's like, I gotta figure out to write a movie for him. And he came up with this idea about the babysitter murders, where it's like you know, just this murder torments these babysitters on Halloween night on like the scariest night of the year or whatever. And he's like, this would be a kind of a cool to like experiment with a horror kind of film with John Carpenter. Like, he's never done that, and I don't think he's even interested in that, but like, he wants to make a movie. So and so he kind of ran with the concept, and he like really, and but the guy really had all these concepts from, he was like a radio guy. Uh-huh. As a kid, he grew up listening to radio, and he was like obsessed with like Inner Sanctum and shows like that. And he's like, and he said that, I remember him saying like, whatever he conjured up in his head was way worse than like anything that's, you know, ever been on TV.
Oh, wow.
You know? And so, yeah, you know, like when the imagination is given the chance to participate, you know, and run wild, and like, and they likened it to like, you know, stretching a rubber band, seeing how far you can stretch it before it snaps.
Yeah.
It's like super tense, just like, just getting everyone super involved, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where the true like fear comes, because like, I don't think it comes from the violence, you know, it doesn't come from being grossed out or whatever by blood. It comes from like the total suspense, you know, and mystery.
Right. What you said, you know, to me was like, when you watch this, the key word is the theater of the mind. And I really like that phrase, because when you're waiting and you're seeing Michael in the background and his like, like you're like, okay, he has to be in that shadow. And then all of a sudden you see that white mask kind of creep up. And you're like, oh, wait, man. Okay, he's like right there. Like, that's the theater of the mind, because like, what's going to happen? And they take their time. They're so patient, dude, in this movie.
I love that. That's so true. Yeah, that was a phrase he used. He said he wanted it to be like that, like the theater of the mind. And that really inspired me, and it got me thinking, like, man, that is the school of thought that I want to follow, you know? But yeah, it's like, it was such like a magical, I don't know, it's just like leaving it up to the audience to like finish the dots. And he talked about like even the ideas, like really advanced techniques, I think, like Hitchcock type stuff of diverting one's attention to like one side of the screen for a bit and then attacking them on the other side of the screen. Like,
yeah.
But after a while, so you're invested in the other side of the screen and you're like, nothing's over there, you know, on the other side, you're just not even, it's like dark over there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know,
right.
It's like knowing how to manipulate the audience's attention, like, you know, on the screen, like move it around, you know,
it's kind of like a magic trick.
And just like, move it around patiently and make them wait, you know, and just like it builds. It's just like magical.
Part of what made Halloween so incredibly unique and frightening was the fact that John Carpenter was willing to take chances. In particular, in this case, he took a chance on something called the Panaglide, which was out and new pretty much around the time of filming Halloween. It was basically a digital stabilizer so that they could apply it to the Panavision cameras and basically achieve an amazing stabilized effect while walking with the camera. And with this device, they were able to then pioneer a new cinematic style, which went on to really inspire horror movies, like, to this day, and really changed the trajectory of the cinematic style of horror movies for sure. So this cinematic style gets busted out right at the beginning of the movie. I mean, first scene, famous long shot, is actually two long shots spliced together, but nonetheless, it's such an amazing style, and it just comes right out of the gate. You see, you're moving with the first person view and all the movements and the breathing of the character. You're sort of embodying the killer. And you know, the walk, the movements through the house, all of it was so carefully calculated and so patient. And that's part of the reason why it's just bone chilling. Then there are the scenes where Michael sort of appears as more of a third person on the screen and you're walking with him and the camera still has the walking effect as a first person, but you can still see Michael on the screen as a third person, walking in the same way and same pace. And you kind of get to sort of observe him yet move with him. The scene I'm thinking of is the schoolyard when he's sort of, you know, following the young boy, and it gets super creepy because of the sheer length of the scene and the breathing and all that. And then there are the type of shots where Michael can't even be found and it's broad daylight, and yet the way the camera moves in the walking manner even just kind of subtly suggests and reminds the viewer that Michael could be lurking anywhere.
People that are watching this in 1979 for the first time, like, not seeing anything like this, so not even being prepared, oh, like, the guy's gonna come out of the other side of the screen, because it's like a trope now. Like, for us, when we watch it, it's a trope. Like, oh, yep. Because I could expect, okay, Michael's probably over on this other side of the screen because we're focused here. But, like,
right.
But 1979, the first time you're watching this, you're like, you don't know what to expect. You're like, okay, like, run, go somewhere. And then all of a sudden, he just comes out and he attacks. And Michael even takes his time trying to kill people. Yeah. Like, he's not running. He's like, I don't need a sprint.
Yep.
Like, I'm just going to walk down these stairs. I don't want to fall. You know, he's just taking his time. I was like, I want to kill her, but I don't want to rush it.
It works. It's strange, but it works. It's, you know, the fact that he walks like a zombie and he's like super slow, but that's part of the patience thing that they use. Mm-hmm. That you know, that mechanism, it's like, I guess it's just like integrated into it. Mm-hmm. And it works, but yeah, it is awkward.
Hey neighbor, what's the matter? It looks like you got the day after Halloween blues or something.
Yeah.
Well, are you upset because the kids toilet papered your whole yard again, just like usual every year?
Yeah.
Well, I've got good news for you. I mean, you know, you don't really have to throw it away.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you could keep it. You could, you know, roll it up yourself and sell it on eBay. It's a hot commodity now, you know?
No.
Or, I mean, you could, you know, just roll it up and use it yourself and save a little moolah. I mean, hey.
Go away.
Don't be like my neighbor. This year, if you're yard gets TP'd on Halloween, go to ebay.com.
No.
That's ebay.com and sell it for a fortune now.
Go away.
There's a scene where he's like, Michael decides to play dress up. He's like, I want to dress up like a ghost and put glasses over my face. Michael's like, this might be cute. Like, and he's like, I'm just going to stare at her while she's in bed. And I'm not gonna just leap out and do it all of a sudden. I'm gonna let her kind of realize that it's not her current lover that she was making love with. Like, I'm gonna just stare at her for a second, maybe a full minute, until she gets mad and frustrated. And then, like, he just stands there, like, in his costume that he made. He pokes some eye holes out, very thoughtful, and he's like, oh, you know what would be kind of sinister? If I use the glasses and I put that over, like, we're the same height. She's not gonna know. Right. Michael's kind of a prankster, you know.
Right.
That's where I was like, oh, he does have a sense of humor.
It was very tongue in cheek and almost like an '80s B horror movie with some comedy laced in. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it was like the fact that she tolerated him as well for that whole minute.
Yeah,
you know, who she thought was her boyfriend. That
you're not
going
to say anything
to me. I'm like, wow, she's really patient with him right now. Like, he's really just like standing there not saying anything
for
that long. It's like, you know,
right. And I wonder, like, I wish I could have seen his face at the time. Like, is he smiling? Is he is he still just like zonked out from all the meds that he had in the insane asylum? I don't know. But you could tell he could enjoy that. He enjoyed it.
Right. Yeah. It's strange. Like, I heard John Carpenter kind of laced in some sort of like mythology, you know, in the script about like the dark eyes of, you know, of evil and stuff like that. Michael having like a vacancy, you know, like no, just like no soul or whatever, just like black, like pure evil. And like, it's just like so strange to think about, but yeah, that was kind of like the thing. Like, they just were trying to make it scary, and Donald Pleasance, those lines Donald Pleasance was saying, he's like, just the blackest eyes, just pure evil.
Right.
Like, it was like super awkward. Like, you could tell it was just like kind of like patched into the script there.
Well, I don't know what happens in the other movies, but like this doctor was obsessed. He's like, you guys got to understand, he's going to do some bad things. Like, he got the car. I don't know where he learned how to drive, but he's going to do some bad. I worked with him for 8 years. Like, when I first saw him as a kid, I wanted to help, but I couldn't. And so, like he grew up with him. Like, that was, you could tell it was like almost like his son that he had to put down, you know?
Oh, man, yeah.
And there was, and then he's just like walking house to house, like, all right, he'll probably be here, right? And he went back to the scene like where he first killed. He's like, well, this guy is like more sick than that. Like, he's gonna do some bad things.
Yeah, it's a pretty unlikely situation, you know. It's pretty wild.
Right.
It's like really, and then going as far as to call him the boogeyman, like at the end of the movie, it's like, okay, wow, that's wow. Right. You know, that's a leap. So I guess the mythology kind of took that to a little plot twist there.
Yeah. I feel like Michael as a kid, he watched some like theater. Like, there was like some, I think he liked some theater, like slapstick. 'Cause like, he would fake being dead a couple times throughout the movie. You're like, oh, he's definitely dead. He just got stabbed in the neck. He's like, I'm just going to lay here for a while. And he just wants to psych people out. I'm like, man, Michael, you're really going for that Oscar. There was like a scene where it was like, she was like hiding in the closet, which was like honestly, I thought was a bad choice. I thought that was a bad choice to hide there. And I'm surprised she didn't tell the kids, like, run out. But like,
yeah, that closet scene was strange, you know?
It
was just very strange. Like, it's all of a sudden like he's just totally overpowered by a coat hanger.
Right.
It's like, poke, poke, poke. Oh no.
Right.
A coat hanger. Like, you know, he drops his huge knife, and then she takes the knife and kind of like chases him. She should take the coat hanger, you know, and chase him.
Right. Right.
That really worked against him. So.
Right. She didn't make all the wise choices. I would say she's probably really scared. Like, but like, okay, going in a flimsy closet, like, you just saw the man punch through a door. He punched through a door.
Yeah, right. How is he having trouble opening that closet door?
Right.
Like, really? That's ridiculous.
And then she pokes him in the eye. She takes a knife. And then after she stabs him with two hands, a two-handed stab, you see her drop the knife right beside him. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to sit facing away from this body.
Right.
Because I'm so sure.
The classic, like, frustrating, you know, stance of, you know, of the victim in a horror movie. It's like, why?
Yeah,
like, that's the part of the movie where I was completely frustrated. Like, why does this have to? Why is this written in here? She should be gone. She
yeah,
gone out of the house.
Kids, get out of here. Kids, get out of here. I'm gonna sit down. This has been a long day for me. And then, you know, like, if I'm gonna kill somebody, I'm leaving the scene. I'm like, all right.
She should be so far away.
But then, and then you see the doctor come in, save the day.
Right.
He gets shot. The bullets just push him out of the window. I guess that's what bullets did in 1979. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they. I guess bullets didn't kill people back then. They just pushed people out the window, and then. The ending was classic for me because it was just like, all right, now we know there has to be a Halloween 2.
Right. Oh gosh, yeah, they had to leave it open ended. And Halloween 2, by the way, is great. I own that one as well. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just watch it. I'm gonna jump right in. Last year I kind of like binged on 1 and 2, and it keeps rolling. It keeps on rolling.
Ooh, I noticed the language was sure.
Like in this style, kind of like in this vein. It's a John Carpenter directed as well, and it's very, and Jamie Lee Curtis and all that.
So Jamie's in the second one.
Shoot.
Can you hear me?
Ah, okay. You're back. Every time I go into that one spot, all right, I'm just trying not to go over there. All right. Sorry, go ahead.
So Jamie's in the second one.
Yep.
All right. Well,
yeah, I think she's in all of them. Pretty sure she's like a
she's
like
dead. A meme. No, there's some branches where she's dead.
Oh, right. That's so strange. Like, you showed me that that picture, that diagram, and I was amazed because I hadn't seen any of the other Halloween films besides 1 and 2, and so I was like. There's streams of the story where she's dead and streams of the same storyline where she's alive. Like, what?
Yeah.
How is it possible?
They just kept going and going and going.
It's wild. She might have, like, superpowers like him. Like, kind of like, I don't know, eternal life type weird thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm not sure what it is.
I really like the language in it. I really like the language where, like... Like, you could tell it's 1979. Like, they're like, totally, every other sentence. Totally. Do you want to go to the car? Totally. Do you want to go to the dance? Totally. We need to go to the dance. Hey, let's have some sex. Totally. Like, it was just like, I was like, is that when that word was invented? Totally. Like, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty cheesy.
Well, yeah, the dialogue wasn't bad, though. Like, I really felt like they did their thing. And it was a good movie.
Yeah, it worked. It can be poked fun at for sure. Like, it was not great.
I think
it's funny, like, parts of the movie, like, remind me of just, like, growing up and making, like, movies with my friends and stuff, you know? And, mm-hmm. like some of it, honestly, I'm like, wow, like, gives me nostalgia because it's, like, a little bit sloppy in that direction at times. And I'm like, man, it just makes it more endearing for me, honestly, because I'm just, like, that much more, like, invested in that much more kind of I don't know, almost like loving the flaws as well, like just like appreciating it all as a whole as a great piece of art.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
well, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
New from Daggett Industries comes the amazing product called Renew You. Renew You is a cream that when applied to the face, one can achieve many different looks. Renew You is the master of disguise. With it, one can alter, extend, shorten, or completely remove facial features. This incredible moisturizer will fill all your cracks, craters, scales, pus holes with the ability to alter your identity. Or simply apply the cream and twist for a cool spiral effect. This also makes for a great Halloween costume or a great opportunity to disappear and start over. It also makes a great Halloween prank. All you have to do is apply generously and then go over to your best friend's house and say, look what happens when I pull on my face. Order now with special code CLAYFACE to get 10% off while supplies last.
Welcome back. I was scared on this movie. I'm going to say this. I went to bed and I was like looking around the corner before I laid down. And I think that's like a sign that a movie is scary, you know?
Yeah, it did its job.
It did its job. It got into the
psyche, you know?
It got into the psyche a little bit. I'm like, all right, John. All right, Mr. Carpenter, you did your thing. But I actually got a special, Bobby, I got a special guest. We always call him, and I haven't talked to him for a long time. So we have Donnie on the line. Hey, Donnie. Donnie, are you there?
Donnie. Hello?
Hey, Donnie. You're on the.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Donnie. What's going on with your voice?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, there you are. There you are. I'm doing good. We're talking about the movie Halloween. What'd you think of the movie Halloween?
Yeah, that's next week.
Yeah, but the movie Halloween, what'd you think of it?
There's a movie?
Oh,
hey,
you?
I'm kidding, baby.
Oh, hey, listen. I thought you didn't.
Hey, listen, I like the JC, you know what I mean? And John, you know, Hangman. You know what I mean?
You mean John Carpenter?
Woodworker, Woodpecker. No, Wood. He's my freaking hero, honestly.
Yeah, no, John Carpenter is great.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Halloween's terrible, but he's great.
Oh, you don't like Halloween?
No, I'm kidding, baby. Listen, Carpenter, you know, he's capable, but. You know, listen, Halloween came out in, listen, I have a memory, distinct memory of this, right? Okay. 1978.
I think it was 79.
Ball, you know, a professional ball, you know, up in Toronto there, you know. I was starting out there, I was pitching, you know. The coach didn't like me much because I was doing a fist bump after every pitch.
So you went play baseball? You play baseball?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was an ex-ball player. Yeah, I was a pitcher.
You know? Wait. What league did you make it to? I know you've done a lot of things, but how high?
Oh yeah, you know the Toronto Blue Jays. There, you know.
Oh, you went professional.
MLB. You know the ex. Yeah. Yeah, oh, real boys, big boys. You know.
A major. But, I didn't know that.
The thing is, you know, I didn't stay there too long because people didn't like my fist bumps. You know, I fist bump after every pitch. So even after a home run, you know, I give up a home run, I fist bump. They're super pissed at me. You know, the manager didn't like that. He thought it was a personal dig, you know, but it's just my thing. And I threw out my shoulder and I fist bumped, you know, too many times. I fist bumped 10 times in a row.
Wow.
This one time. And I just really just lost it, my shoulder. And I just, that was it for
so
me.
So you know? Messed up
but
your
I,
arm.
Nice run. But anyway.
You messed up your arm through fist bumping?
Oh yeah, I threw up my shoulder. You know, that was it.
Not from pitching. Not from pitching, just fist bumping.
Yeah, 10 fist bumps in a row, because I was pissed. You know, but I was also happy and celebrating. You know, so it was complex. But hey, I mean, that was then. Anyway, I was playing ball. You know, and I got up out of game, lost a tough game. You know. Gave up 3 fist bump homers, you know, and then I was a little bit blue, and I saw, you know, Halloween, it's playing, hey, you know, so I checked it out, hey, Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, we were dating back in the day when she was filming Halloween up in Toronto, actually, it was at the time.
Wait, you dated Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah, just for a little bit, you know, just for a little bit.
Okay. Carpenter
didn't realize that.
All right.
You know. It was all right.
Well, you had to hide it from Carpenter?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Was he, like, jealous? Baby.
My shoulder was messed up, you know, from the fist bumps, though. So, you know, we didn't have a great time, you know. It wasn't I was able to move around a lot.
So she probably had to help you more.
Well, I was in the hospital bed for 6 months, and she took care of me for 6 months.
From fist bumping?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And it was a severe injury. Went all the way, ricocheted down all the way to my back plate.
Oh, plate shoot.
Bone. Plimp, flan.
Can I ask you a question? Like, why did you have to hide the dating situation from John Carpenter?
I don't remember. You know what I mean, baby?
Oh, okay.
But Jamie Lee Curtis, man, you know, she's a pretty one. Hey, listen, I don't want to be inappropriate. Listen,
but she's not.
Listen, she's old, you know, she's a grandma. But hey, you know, I you know, Donnie Bobani is single and ready to mingle.
So you would go back out with her? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if she wants, you know what I mean? But Bobani is here. You know what I mean, baby? It's all the past, baby. It's all the past, baby. Hey, listen, I'm watching, you know, the game 4, you know, between the Atlanta and L.A., you know, I'm watching some baseball, you know what I mean, baby? So can't stay for too long, baby.
No, I got you. I'm glad that you're watching your old sport. I'm surprised that that never came up on the podcast, but
I mean, it's a little bit of a blessing, you know, but it's also a curse because I still fist bump out there every pitch. I mean, I can't help it, you know, so I re-injure my injury every time, you know, every night, every game.
How hard are you fist bumping?
You know, I'm just a very enthusiastic fist bumper, you know?
I mean, well, Donnie, that was a lot. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We didn't get to talk that much about Halloween, but I learned about your MLB skills. So thank you so much.
What now?
Halloween, the movie that we're just talking about.
Hello, what now?
Halloween, the movie that we're talking about.
Hello, what now?
Halloween, the movie with Jamie Lee Curtis that you were talking about.
Hello, what now?
The movie Halloween that we were talking about on the podcast.
Hello, what now?
Halloween, the movie that we were just talking about.
Hey,
I thought
Jamie Lee Curtis. Dude. You know, listen, Jamie Lee Schwartz. Don't forget, you know, Schwartz and Schwartz, okay. My favorite Jamie Lee Curtis movie, True Lies.
Okay.
Schwartzy and Schwartzy, you know, the Schwartz gang.
Yep. All
hey, right. She's the best. I love her.
Yeah, she's.
Listen, tell her, anyway.
I don't have her number.
That's too much.
I don't have her number. I can't call her up right now. But thank you so much for being on the program, Donnie. We'll talk to you soon. It's good hearing your voice.
Gotta be kidding me right now. Sorry, baby. Something happened in the baseball game, and I'm just a little irritated.
All right.
Baby. Hey, listen, thank you for having me. Baby.
Yeah, take
it. I'll talk to you guys later.
Take it easy.
Oh, are you kidding me, baby? Are you kidding me, baby? Oh, God.
All right. And that was Donnie Bobani, guys. Bobby, what did you think about Donnie?
Yeah, Donnie's cool, man. I like him.
Yeah, he's a cool
pretty
dude.
Cool dude.
He's a cool dude. Very
interesting character.
To say the least, yeah, he is very interesting. I don't know how else to put it with him. So something that we used to do together is, well, we still do together, is make videos. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was fun. That was good times. but it's great. I feel like we haven't put out many this year, but
well, the pandemic kind of messed things up. Yeah.
But we had 2019, we had a great year. I mean, we've been doing it for a while since, was it 2012 we started?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. And then, oh man, it's been great. Like, I just love being able to write with you and like just basically, bouncing jokes off each other in an organic way. Like,
for
the
sure.
way that, you know, like the way that writers would in like a writing studio or whatever, mm-hmm. and you kind of follow the laughs.
Right. You follow the laughs.
That's right. And that's kind of where
that's key.
That's where it's at with us. We just kind of like, we're able to
follow the laughs. That's key. You know,
Like do our own style of
comedy. I have to ask cool. you, like I have to ask you, cause we've done like urgent comedy for a while. So I'd like to know your favorite skit we've done on Urgent Comedy and like your worst, the worst one. Like you're like, oh man, I already have mine. Mine would have to be The dog pile. I think that's my favorite. And then...
No, yeah, I agree. I have to say dog pile for me too.
Dog pile. By the Birds was done in the pandemic, and that was the last one we did. And then we've worked on Bieber since, which...
Oh, yeah. We've been working on Bieber, I mean, for a long time. Like, really, like, we didn't work on it much during the pandemic because, no. I mean, it was... I feel like the collective consciousness was just, like, really, like, frail. And it was, like, tough to, like, kind of forge ahead with creative projects, you know?
Right.
But
how many years? How many years have we been working on Bieber?
But yeah, so now we started really kind of probably, was it late 2020 or early 2021?
It might have been like that. 2019.
Did we start?
Wait, I filmed it right when I left.
Watched all the footage initially and like kind of, you know, weeded out.
Right. I filmed it like I think end of 2018. When I just left Polaris Laboratories. So maybe it was the beginning of 2019. So it was
okay.
About a guy that was in there and like he died like before we could even put it out. Like that's crazy to me. Like,
yeah, that's wild. It's a long story, but no one was harmed in the skit or anything. And it was an unfortunate... it was just an unfortunate, like, you know, life occurrence in this guy's life. He just passed away. But it happened, you know, I don't know, a couple of years after you guys filmed it, right? Like, pretty much. And because we've had it for so long, kind of in the vault. And he's just, yeah, he's gone now. It's just like such a crazy thing that we captured him on footage, you know, on tape on this video, and he really is like the comedic anchor of this video, right? Like in my mind, like he always was going to be. We like the big jokes,
yeah.
You know, the really, you know, kind of hilarious jokes.
We're talking about the comedian, the late
to him,
yeah, you know? We're talking about the late comedian Larry George, and he was a great person in this Bieber sketch, which is coming out. We're going to do it. It's just like a ridiculous sketch that we came up with, and I think a lot of people are gonna like it and enjoy it. It has the dog pile tones, but it's about a dance camp with Bieber that went wrong, and Larry George was super funny in it. I remember he would hit me up. Yeah, he would hit me up. He's like, "Can I see this film?" And I was like, "No, I mean, we're not ready yet." And then, like, he would hit me up, like, a couple weeks later. He's like, "Is it ready?" I'm like, "Dude, like, we got to edit. Like, I still haven't got all the footage." And then
That was, like, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Initially. Or, like, maybe, you know, a year and a half
ago, yeah,
or
something. And so he started pestering me. I was like, he would say stuff like, "I'm dying to see it." I'm like, "Okay. Like, you're going to get it." I'm like, and I complained to you. I'm like, "Dude, this dude, he's, like, he really wants to see it. And, like, he wants to see the raw footage. Like he'll see it when he sees it." And then he died, and then I felt really bad.
Yeah, that's just wild. It's so sad. Poor guy. Like, he seems great, and like he's so funny in the skit. Like, I really can't wait for people to see him in it. And I kind of want this skit, like we were talking about, you know, just kind of going towards his memory, you know, dedicated to him and everything. But
right,
I definitely am. Yeah, it's very shocking, the whole situation, but dude, he's so funny. Like, and I feel like remembering him that way is a good thing to do, you know? So
absolutely,
it's, yeah, I'm excited to dive in more to that with you. I feel like getting quality editing time together is, sure, the hardest part, you know,
for sure.
But
well, you got two kids, you got a wife.
Yeah,
I have none of that.
A couple of things going on.
And you got a music bit. Career.
Yeah.
I'm going to play your upcoming song that's coming out.
You fell into my arms.
I mean, I guess You Fell is my hit song, quote unquote, because it got on the playlist and it has like, you know, 5,500 plays or whatever, because of that, which is not that much, but it's something, you know, it's not bad.
It's something. Like, the numbers get weird with TikTok. When TikTok comes out, like, someone will have, like, oh, I had, like, 300,000. Like, do you have 300,000 people watch something? So much.
Yeah. I actually made a TikTok, and I just have to just go through the grind of, you know, following people and trying to get people to follow me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But, yeah, that's Streams of Thought. If anyone wants to check that out, it's on all the streaming services and whatnot.
Spotify, and, Apple Music.
Yeah, and that was a song, You Fell. It got it was a cool opportunity. It got put on a cool playlist, an Alex Rainbird music playlist, which I really was honored to be part of that, because they're kind of a really like established curator of music, and like they create really great playlists that are notorious for attracting like a lot of listeners and viewers to their website and stuff, and then like subsequent, you know, views to the band's pages and listens and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it was a blessing to be on there, and so that was exciting. And anyway, anyone who wants to do that, to check it out. And also my Instagram is Streams of Thought Music. Anyway, yep, that's it.
There we go. Wrapping up here, Bobby, I mean, one, it's been great to talk to you. You're out in New York. To give your exact address, we'll put that, we'll post that on a story so people could know where to send love or hate letters. But, like, when you're doing your music, I know a lot of people think, like, hey, this is what I'm feeling in this season. But I wonder how often people think, this is what I want people to feel when they hear this. Is that something that you do with your music? Think about, this is what I want them to feel or hear. Is there a goal when you make a song, or is it more just what you're feeling at the time?
That's an interesting question. That's really cool. I've thought a lot about this, and I feel like I'm trying at the very core level, you know, when you reduce it down, it's like almost like I have this desire to share some sort of experience with the listener, you know? So I'm trying to communicate like the way I feel about this music or whatever, and sort of translate that into, you know, sort of them emoting from it or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of like, that's my North Star, you know, it's like, it's distilled down to that, really, is like trying to really just like pour into creating so that I can like, you know, share, I guess, my existence.
Oh, with that's people, dope.
You know, in a way.
Yeah. I like that. You're like, it's communication. And I think that's great. When I think all music is like communication, but like you're communicating where you're at and who you are in this moment. And hopefully, however people want to interpret the artist, they can. But like,
right.
I think that's cool, man. That's dope. You have great music.
It's so great. I mean, it's crazy, like, the fact that, you know, we get to make art and like interact with people with it, and I, my hope for this music is that it just gets like interacted with, you know, and obviously anyone that makes music mostly, you know, probably wants that. So it's just an important part of it. It's like the feedback, you know, it's like the energy becomes like a sphere, you know, because it just like starts like infinitely feeding back. But yeah, it's just great.
Right. And it like captures an emotion in the time. You can go back and you can remember that emotion, even though you might not even feel that way at the current time that you're listening to it. It's still a memory of emotion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, emotion kind of like has a lot to do with memory. I feel, you know, like it imprints like a stamp, you know, in the memory or whatever, and then we can go back to that and reference like based on how strong the emotions were, you know. It's interesting. It's like, but I guess, you know, there's a lot of high emotional situations and we don't remember all of them, that's right, for sure. But
I like to listen to Scattered Trees. This is weird, like, cause like, yeah, my grandma just died, and I'm gonna be going to the funeral here.
Sorry soon. About that.
Yeah, but like Scattered Trees. Every time, like, I have a death in the family, I go back and listen to that album, because it just reminds me of, I think, past experiences, past deaths, past like trauma, but like, it's so upbeat and like and real. I feel like it's a raw album. If you haven't listened to it, Scattered Trees, I forget what album it is, but it's one of the last things they put out as Scattered Trees.
Is the album called Sympathy?
Sympathy.
I don't know why I'm having trouble remembering this.
Oh, Sympathy. Yeah.
I like was obsessed with it. You need to
find your sympathy. Yeah, dude.
Like, I think that was the name of the record. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a great record. I love, oh God.
It's so deep.
From the get go, you know, from the jump, it's just like so good.
Amazing. Yeah. And like he, I think I heard him say something like, cause he wrote that right after his father passed away. And I heard him say something like, he wanted to have like some upbeat tones, but like if you listen to the words, you can understand exactly what it's talking about. Like, because you could listen to the album and not think that it was about death at all, but like the whole album is.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's super ironic. I remember that he just wanted to have that stark contrast between like having that that upbeat, like, pop, you know, fun chord changes music,
like, oh no, I'm gonna play that song. I want to play that right there.
Oh man, yeah, he used a lot, like he's always like been, you know, autobiographical with his songwriting and with his lyrics, and it's always just so real, like it's always like the realest stuff and really poetic too, obviously. And he's such a great, his voice is like one in a million, you know, it's just magical. But
I miss
Scattered Trees, and I hope Nate's doing great. I know he's doing a project. Maybe give him a little shout out. Freddie King Como, Como. I'm not sure.
That's a long,
I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but if you go to www.incommonrecords.com, you will hear one of his latest album creations, and it is freaking awesome. So anyone who wants to check that out,
and like
a little support,
you're really into music. I want to know if there's another album. Like, that's my suggestion right now during Halloween era. I say listen to that. Is there another album that you have like to suggest to people, like, oh, if you haven't heard this, check this out?
Oh man,
I know I just put you on the spot there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Right now I have a playlist actually on my Spotify, if anyone wants to listen to that, that'd be a good start. So like the Streams of Thought on Spotify, it's a playlist. If you scroll down to the bottom, it's called Songs I'm Loving Lately, and I just kind of add to it as I find new things. And there's like a good 3.5 hours of music on there. But I like, man, yeah, there are kind of bits and pieces, but I'd say as an album, anybody should check out Novo Amor's latest full-length album. It's just so good. I just love it, and I can't get enough of it. It's really great listening, all around, like, quality. It's called Cannot Be Whatsoever. It's just a great album that I would recommend, and it's kind of got a lot of different styles within this sort of indie style or whatever. And so he kind of, there's something for everyone to kind of chew on. It's nice. It's really good.
That's awesome, Bobby. Thank you so much.
I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't know it.
Hey, hey. Hello, what now?